Welcome to the podcast of Faith Tabernacle, a place to meet God and connect with others. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information on faith, visit us at faithtabernacle.com.
As you turn to your scriptures into the book of Acts, chapter number 2, we're going to be reading one verse of scripture, our key scripture. We're starting a whole new series today called Kingdom Promise. Somebody shout, Kingdom Promise. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 39, while you're turning there and while they're getting that on your screens, I do want to say this Tuesday, we're starting a whole new round of My Faith Journey classes. And if you haven't been through those yet, there's going to be a sign up there in the foyer. And also, we changed the I was broke, but now I'm not, from Saturday to Tuesday. And we still have room in that class. That's a budgeting class. And there's a sign up in the foyer. Of course, if you're watching online, just email us. You can email amber@faithtabernacle.com if you're watching online for more information on that. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 39. This is what the Bible says. For the promise, somebody shout promise. For the promise is unto you, that means us, right? And to your children, and to all. Somebody say all. Nobody's being left out here. Do you get that? It's for me and you. It's for our children. And then it's for all. So if that didn't cover everyone, the Bible was being very clear. It was for everyone that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, I mean, this was like a four-part series in this scripture to make sure everybody was covered so nobody can ever say, well, you didn't mean me. No, this means everybody. 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 Amen. God, we love you. And God, we say thank you for today. We thank you for your promises that are yea and amen. And God, we ask, God, today in this service, today, this morning, God, Lord, that your way and your will be done. I'm thankful for every single person that's in this building, but also the many, Lord, that are watching online right now. And I ask, God, Lord, that you would, God, not just allow your presence to continue to flow freely in this house, but also in every home, in every car, and any place that someone is watching right now. Your presence is not just blocked into these four walls. Thankful for that. God, let your promises, God, be known in this place today. We love you and we thank you. And the church shout, amen. Clap your hands one more time before you're seated. Amen. He's a great God. Dear God, you may be seated this morning. Promises, promises, promises. Unfortunately, we live in a world that's full of broken promises. Sadly, it has become part of our culture to not accept man at his word. Now, not all of us in this room, but some of us might remember back in the day that, and this was even before my time, such a young man I am. Thank you for not laughing. That you could go into a bank and you could get a loan with a handshake. Bishop said, that's right. He remembers that. Why? Because man's word was their bond. It was something that you went in and said, I'm going to pay you back, and that would happen. But somewhere between then and now, those lines begin to get blurred, and the trust of man, the trust of mankind has fallen by the wayside. And because of this, contracts on top of contracts, and probably on top of contracts, are signed, and they're so much of fine print and asterisks and everything that you can imagine on pieces of paper that you signed, and they are reviewed by attorneys, all because they need to keep man's part of the bargain. Sometimes we are so quick to sign things, and I know I'm guilty on a lot of things that you download and apps that you download, that you agree to these terms, and you quickly just scroll through until you get to the bottom and you click the X, the check or the X mark, whatever it might be, and said that you read those 20 pages. And even with all of the signing and the attorneys, and even then, somehow, people still seem to break covenant and not keep their word over and over and over again. They get attorneys upon attorneys to fight the attorneys to say, I really didn't mean to sign that, and I didn't really understand the verbiage that was on the contracts. You get what I'm trying to say this morning, the foundation that I'm trying to lay for this month. All this leads, everything that we interact with mankind today in the mistrust that we have seen, it all leads to really the mistrust, and it carries over to our relationship with God. The mistrust with man carries over to our relationship with God. Because if man cannot keep their promises, why should I count on a God that I cannot even see? You see, the devil, our enemy, our number one enemy, would want to make you think when God doesn't come through for us, that God hasn't kept our promises. That's what the devil would want us to think. Remember last month, our key scripture that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So he's going to do everything that he can to make us think that with God doesn't come through, that he hasn't kept our promises and his promises. Which the truth of the matter is simply this, that we have either stepped outside of his promise, or we have stepped outside of his will, or our timing is not aligned with God's timing. But the enemy would want to throw that against God and say God doesn't come through, when the fact of the matter is it's us. It's us. We are blaming God because the enemy, the devil, is trying to trick us and confuse us that God never comes through. That is not true. God always comes through. And we have to be careful that we do not become angry with God, and that we do not blame God that he's not faithful, when it is us that's forcing him to be in our own will and our own timeline. That's not how God works. God doesn't work in our will, and God will never work in our timeline. And I want to say today, thank God that he does not work in my will, and thank God he doesn't work in my timeline, because if he did, I would be all messed up. And you would be all messed up if we got everything we wanted. Have you seen kids that get everything that they want? I'll stop right there. From the beginning of time, God's promises have always been about faith. From the beginning of time, God's promises have always been about waiting. From the beginning of time, God's promises have always been about, ready, patience. And those three things we have a difficult with. We have a difficult with faith, and we have a difficult with waiting, and we have a difficulty with patience. It's not in our nature. It's not in our nature to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things we cannot see. In our nature, we don't want to have faith. We want to see it. We want to touch it. We want to feel it. That's our type of faith. That's not God's type of faith. And in our nature, we do not want to wait. And in our nature, we do not want to have patience. Patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But God has always worked that way with His promises. If we want to see God's promises come through in our life, then we have to have these three ingredients in our life, and that's faith, patience, and being willing to wait. One example of many, and there are many, in the Old Testament is the promise of the promised land. From the deliverance of Egypt until the land that flowed with milk and honey. Folks, you can only imagine, anything sounded good when you were in slavery. Anything sounded good when you were in bondage. Anything sounded good when you had to work day and night. And nothing was let up, and no rest, and you were forced into slave labor. Anything sounded great, especially a land that flowed with milk and honey. And when Moses, the type of deliverer, he was a type of Christ, went to deliver Egypt, and it wasn't easy for Moses. He wasn't accepted by his own people. They pushed back towards him. And then when God sent him here there with Aaron, and it took 10 plagues to get out of Egypt, it wasn't easy. You would think, Moses sees a burning bush, not consumed, hears the voice of God, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground, God speaks to Moses that you're going to deliver my children from a place of slavery, and you're going to bring them to a promised land that flows with milk and honey. What would you think? This is easy. God just spoke to me from a bush. But remember, His promises take faith, and His promises are worth waiting for. Amen. And His promises take patience. In our nature, we could maybe say, oh, one or two setbacks, and we still love God. One or two setbacks, and we're still going to come to church. One or two setbacks, and we're still going to lift our hands and worship and dance. One or two setbacks, we're going to still read the Word of God. We're still going to pray, and we're still going to be faithful in our relationship with God. You know, one or two, you know, three at the most, God. It took 10 plagues, and he was mocked where the magicians were doing the same type of plagues. What kind of conversation would you have with God? Would you say, what is going on? God, you sent me here. You brought me here. What is this mess you got me into? What would you say? And the Bible says, now listen, the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was all in God's plan for Moses when he went to Egypt to free the Israelites, that it would not happen quickly. It was all in God's plan. God made sure that it did not happen. God made sure that Moses had to learn a few things before he went into the wilderness. Do you get that God is training us now for things in the future? That God is training in our life, our faith, and our patience, not just for what we're going through now, but for something greater that's in the future. And finally, the 10th plague came, and they got to leave, but guess what? It still wasn't over. They did not even get across the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, here comes Pharaoh's army again. And the children of Israel begin to complain and whine. Why did we even leave? Now the Red Sea's in front of us, and here comes the army behind us. Poor Moses. Because this was only the beginning of their whining. This was only the beginning of their complaining. Oh, woe is me. I mean, here they saw the latest miracle, the plague, the Passover. That all of them, because the lamb, the blood of the lamb was posted, was applied on the doorposts of each of their homes. And when the death angel passed over and all the firstborn was killed, no one's home that had that blood applied to the house was touched. Just because there are promises from God does not mean that life is going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. So finally, God gets a whirlwind, slows down, stops the armies, right? Then they all cross the Red Sea. Moses has to get his hands held because he's beginning to get tired. Can only imagine what he's thinking. Can y'all hurry up and get through the dry ground on the Red Sea? They go through. Everyone goes through. The whirlwind stops. The Egyptian army comes running after Israel. And the Red Sea comes and totally destroys. It's a type of baptism. Totally destroys their past. Totally destroys that bondage, that slavery, which was a type of sin that represented. So here's a miracle. I mean, all of them. Could you imagine the talk? Did you see what God did? Did you see the water of the Red Sea? That there were walls that were pushed back and we walked on dry ground. And that just wasn't some type of accident, because when we got on the other side, then our enemy was destroyed. So you can imagine what how they should have been feeling of how great God is, of how he's a miracle-working God, and how he keeps his promises, and how they were delivered from the Egyptians. But they haven't gotten to the promised land yet. Because from the deliverance of Egypt until the land that flowed with that milk and honey, there was a lot of, ready, daily provisions in the wilderness. Daily provisions in the wilderness. They didn't like that. Our nature doesn't like that. Because you know why? We want it all. We want it all now. We want it right now. God, you promised it, then right now. We can laugh and we can smile about that, but that's what our nature does. We want it today. We want it now. But it was only about daily provisions while they were in the wilderness. God didn't say anything about overflowing in the wilderness. He talked about the overflowing promise in the promised land of milk and honey. And so in our wilderness, what you have to understand is that the wilderness is not always a comfortable place, because it is a season of just enough. All of us need seasons of just enough. God's never going to fail you. God's never going to fail you. But there are days that I am thankful for, that I can look back in my life where God showed up just in time. It was that time, amen, where there was the ram in the thicket that was behind me, amen, that I thought that I was just out of time, but God showed up. The wilderness is not designed for comfort. But that does not mean that the promise is any less in the season of the wilderness. Your faith in the promise in the wilderness will be one of your most trying times, wondering if God is going to come through or not. We have all been there. And you might be in the wilderness right now, wherever you might be. Amen. These are times. And remember, there are seasons. There are seasons that we go through. And there are trying times, yes. But God, amen, is teaching us. And yes, they are trying times. But he is doing something, amen, for our faith. He's doing something for our patience. He's doing something to teach us how to wait. All this wondering, this season in the wilderness, when you lay your head down at night, you might ask your question, will there be provision in the morning? They were told in the wilderness, there was only one time that they were allowed to hold over manna, and that was the day before the Sabbath. All the other days, they were not allowed to keep over any of the manna. Some tried. There are maggots in it. They couldn't eat it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In the season, the wilderness, we might lay down our head and say, God, are you going to come through? God, if you don't come through, I'm through. You ever said that? But our example of the Israelites in the wilderness, every single day, God did not fail them. God did not fail them. Why? Simply because His promises never fail. They never, ever failed. In Romans chapter number 4, verses 19 through 21, Abraham wavered not at the promises of God. The Bible says this, Paul is talking to the church of Rome, and he is giving them this example of Abraham and Sarah when the long-awaited son, Isaac, would come. And he said, and being not weak in faith. You get it? That's part of the formula of believing that God is going to come through, of not being weak in our faith. Don't let the devil steal, kill, and destroy your faith. And being not weak in faith, he considered, Abraham considered, not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, get it? 100, to have a kid. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb in her 90s. The Bible says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He didn't like one moment, oh God, you're going to do it and we believe and it's going to happen, and then stagger over here. God, where are you? God, you never show up and you're never on time and you're never. He staggered not through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. This was before Isaac was born. This was before they knew that they were even pregnant. Amen. He had strong faith, and in that strong faith, he gave glory to God. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Abraham, although, amen, it was impossible, although even maybe Sarah giggled, amen, and laughed, because when they were told that they were going to have a baby, they staggered not. Why? Because they believed that God was faithful, that he could do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We have to be strong in our faith, amen, to receive his promises. In verse 21, it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You get that? Are you fully persuaded this morning? Are you just kind of halfway persuaded? Are you just kind of like halfway there? Good. That he's able to perform it. This morning, you and I must be fully persuaded that if he said it, it will happen. That we should stagger not at the promises of God through unbelief. Unbelief is the enemy's weapon against us receiving the promises of God. You get it? Matthew 13, 58 says this, and he did not, meaning Jesus, did not many mighty works there because of their what? Unbelief. The devil's strategy is to keep you and I away from everything God has promised for us. Everything. Everything. If it's in this word, if it's in his book, the enemy, His number one priority, his strategy is to keep you away from what is written in this word. It goes way beyond the natural. Abraham staggered not. You know why I believe he staggered not? Because he wasn't drunk on the things of this life. He wasn't intoxicated by the things of this life. He was called out very beginning. If you see Abraham's life, that he was going to a place, a city whose builder and maker was God. He left family. He left comfort. He left everything that you can think of, that uncomfortableness. Why? Because he didn't care about everything of the natural that was around him. It was all about the unseen. It was all about the promises of God. God called him. He didn't question. He just left. He left the familiar place. He left the comfortable place. Do not allow the devil to keep you away from everything God has promised. Especially the promise of his Spirit living inside of you. The enemy would want to tell somebody, and maybe somebody here or somebody that's listening right now online would like to tell somebody that the experience in the book of Acts was only for them and not for us. He's telling that lie to many people. The enemy would want to tell you and tell me and put doubt in our mind that the book of Acts was only for a select few people that were chosen that day to receive the long-awaited outpouring of God's Spirit that was prophesied in the Old Testament, that was talked about in the Gospels, and that was delivered, amen, in the birth of the church. The enemy, amen, has a good strategy, amen, to tell a lie to many people, to say, that is not for you. That is a lie. Amen. That is a lie from the devil. Let me read again our key scripture that I read to you this morning. For the promise is unto you. Somebody shout me. And to your children. Aren't you glad that the promise can go from generation to generation? Can I just encourage some parent here for a moment that maybe your child doesn't know God or your child has left God? Amen. That this promise is still for them. Maybe today you're here and you're like, well, I got the promise. I've received the promise. I spoke with other tongues, Pastor. Amen. But my child, my son, my daughter, my grandkids do not know him or they left him. I need to build somebody's faith that you don't stagger at the promises of God. Hallelujah. Somebody has a prodigal out there that you've lost hope, that you've lost faith, that you've thrown in a towel. Amen. You need to stand up on your faith. life. Amen. This morning, you need to believe for a loved one. You need to believe for a child that's lost. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet all across this building. Somebody shout, my children. Even if you don't have children, just shout it for somebody. Ready? Say it again. And if it doesn't cover children of yours, the Bible says to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Somebody shout the promise. We make a big deal about the promise of God around here because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will not leave here a Sunday without hearing repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's a promise. And it's not a one-time promise. But it's a promise that God wants to keep filling us and 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 filling us. Many of you know the scripture before Acts 2:39, but I want to read it for clarification and for the enemy to hear it. Amen. Today, verse number 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Folks, this is a promise. And if anybody ever told you, you don't need that, or you don't have to have that, or if it's not for you, I'm just going to plainly say, that's a lie. That's a lie. And it's a lie of the enemy to try to keep somebody away from receiving the full promise of God. We have to repent. We have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. That's the only way to be baptized, fully immersed in water in Jesus' name. No other way. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says. And it's confirmed through scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do you receive the Holy Ghost? Well, if you read Acts 2, at the beginning, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, what happened is they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And Peter preached. Now, here's the thing. It just didn't happen. It was promised. It just didn't like accidentally just fall like, oh, you got the Holy Ghost. It was like promised. It was promised in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, it was repeated in the book of Acts chapter 2, talking about Joel, about his Spirit being poured out. When Peter preached on that day of Pentecost, and then they asked, what shall we do? In verse number 37, and that's when Peter said, this is what you should do. Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name for remission of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's no other way to receive the Holy Ghost but like how they received it in Acts chapter 2. That doesn't change. You get it? That just doesn't change. And what has happened, the enemy just steal, kill, and destroys. John the Baptist was confirming the promise that was yet to be poured out when he said in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Talking about Jesus, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. A promise. It wasn't yet given yet. We're still in the Gospels. The Holy Ghost wasn't poured out yet. And then Jesus said in Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Promise, promise, promise. Waiting, 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 waiting. Promise, promise, waiting. In Acts 1. 4-5, it says this, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. And Jesus said this, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Now 120 made it to that upper room. Some commentaries say about 500 should have been there. But 120 decided that they were going to go in that upper room and they were going to tarry and they were going to wait for the promise. If you read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it begins to tell you what happened in that upper room when they were in one mind and one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Long-awaited promise finally arrived. Can I tell somebody today, this is one promise you do not have to wait for. This is a promise that God doesn't say you have to wait and just wait in the wilderness. No. There's a tarrying time before it was given, but once it was given, the Holy Ghost freely flows. The promise freely flows. So maybe you're here today and you've never experienced the gift of the Holy Ghost. Online, in person. If you haven't, this morning, for this promise is unto you. But maybe you're here also or listening that you have a family member, a child or a sibling or a parent or whoever it might be that has not experienced this promise, or maybe they have left this promise. Today you're standing in the gap for them and believing that God's going to fill them just like the day. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me today? And I want us to pray a prayer of repentance in this place. And we want to ask God today to be with us. Lord, God, I'm sick and tired of the enemy lying. I'm sick and tired of the enemy telling us things that are not true. He's telling us that we've made too many mistakes. He's telling us that we've gone too far. He's telling us that we can never get out of the pig pen that we're in, the sin that we have done. He's telling us all these things, and that is not true. Your word says if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. So I believe that. I stagger not at your word that you will forgive me if I repent and I confess. So I confess right now in Jesus' name that I'm a sinner and I repent and I turn away from my old life. I confess that that was wrong. And I turn around towards you. And I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. In Jesus' name, I pray.